What's up, everybody? This is Eric Nam.
This is Eddie Nam.
And welcome to Commit or Quit, the show where we discuss our initial reactions to some of your favorite K-dramas, movies, TV shows, etc., etc. And we decide if we love it and we commit or we hate it and we want to quit it. And that's what we do here. So welcome to the show. How you been, Eddie?
Dude, I've been doing well. I'm suffering with some back problems, but I'm doing okay. How about yourself?
I'm doing okay too. I'm just in final album prep mode. I've been dancing, and from the dancing, I've had some back problems. But you know, that's life.
Yeah.
How bad is your back problem?
My back problem is like my bed feels like a Dorito bag with just no air
in it. Now, like, is that a back problem or a bed problem?
It's a bed problem that created a back problem, and then highlighted a bunch of tight hamstrings and tight hip flexors, and it's all coming to surface now, essentially.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I commented on a chiropractor's YouTube video today because he had a bunch of stretching videos, and it worked for a little bit, and so I said thank you. Yeah, I don't know,
on a random YouTube chiropractor's video.
Yeah, I mean, he's just giving out knowledge, which I appreciate. Kind of like how Commit or Quit, we are just giving out knowledge and we are providing value in deciding what to watch and what not to watch.
Yeah,
so I brought that full circle.
Yeah, I hope that people are on our YouTube videos being like, thank you, Commit or Quit, for saving me time and for entertaining us. You know?
Yeah. Instead of like slamming us for not agreeing with the TV show that they love so much and then sending me hate mail and going down a slippery slope. I'm kidding.
People
That's never
got
happened.
Opinions. Yeah.
That's never happened.
Our listeners are nice. Yeah. Our listeners are decent human beings. We're good. Anyways, okay. We're going to jump into this today. We have a great show to talk about. It is a highly, highly recommended K-drama called When the Camellia Blooms. Camellia? I don't know. It stars Kwon Yo-jin, also known as the rom-com queen in Korea, and Kang Han-ne, who is also a very beloved South Korean actor. This was put out late last year, and it received quite a number of awards and nominations. So I'm pretty excited to talk about it today, right?
Yes.
But before we get into that, we just wanted to thank our listeners for, of course, listening and subscribing and rating and reviewing, and if possible, becoming a patron of ours at patreon.com/divestudios. And because people like yourselves, we are able to discuss these dramas. You guys recommended this one. And we have a long list of shows and movies that we got to do. So we're going to jump into it. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Let's do this.
Here we go.
Hey, what do you want to watch?
I don't know.
Oh, I actually heard this is really good.
What do you say? Should we commit or quit?
All right. So this is today's drama. We are talking about When the Camellia Blooms. It is a romantic comedy thriller, and it is available to stream right now on Netflix worldwide. Eddie, what is the amazing Netflix synopsis here?
Dongbaek is a single mother. When a potential new love enters her life, she finds ways to defy the social stigma surrounding her. A heartfelt small-town romance starring rom-com queen Kwon Yo-jin. As you may know her from The Greatest Love, It's Okay, That's Love. Yeah, I mean, in typical Netflix fashion, very simple. I don't know if anybody will watch it off of that synopsis.
This synopsis is horrible. This is not a great synopsis. There is nothing that excites me about reading the synopsis. If I was just flipping through and I saw the synopsis, I'd be like, pass. That's just me. But I don't think it does this show justice because, you know what? I'm going to flip things on its head today for this show. I know typically at the end of the show, we say whether we commit or quit the show, but I'm just going to be bold. I'm going to be revolutionary, and I'm just going to go ahead and let you know if I commit or quit this show right now. I'm going to just go ahead and say, I commit. I commit to this show. Eddie, what did you think of the show?
That's great. That's a commit for me as well. This is
that's a pretty big deal. Yeah.
It's pretty rare, honestly, on this show, on this podcast.
I mean, I'm pretty sure the last time, I don't remember the last time we felt good about committing to a show.
Extracurricular. But it was like, we felt good about the show, but like it was so dark. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. But I still liked the show. And I think it was on the last episode, I pretty much had a meltdown saying that if I ever have to watch a rom-com again, I'm just going to quit this show in its entirety. But I actually did not mind this show. It's a rom-com thriller, which may be why, but I personally really enjoy this show.
Mm-hmm.
And now our listeners are going to have to listen to why we have to enjoy it, why we enjoyed it. But all right, to give you guys a little bit of a breakdown, we're going to give you a quick main cast and character and what happens in the first two episodes. Here we go. Main character is Dongbaek. She's a single mother played by Kong Yo-jin. She just moves to a small town called Ongsan with her son, and she opens a bar called Camellia, like when the camellia blooms, aka what the drama title is.
Like, Camellia Cabello.
I think that's Camilla, but you know, close enough. Okay. All right. There's Hwang Yong-sik, who is played by Kang An-ho. He's a local policeman who pretty much has a knack for catching criminals and is obsessed with Dongbaek as soon as he meets her. And then there's like a scummy landlord. There is a divorce lawyer who's the landlord's wife. There are all these women who have ganjanggaejang, which is marinated crab restaurants all around this bar, who are just like the local townspeople. And then there is her son, Dongbaek's son, Pilgu. And I feel like those are like, to me, the most important characters right now within the first two episodes. So now, first episode, this lady, Dongbaek, she moves to this town. Everybody's like, oh my God, she's so beautiful. Oh my God, what's she doing moving here? And the women are just super, super, how do you say, jealous and very worried because all the men are like, oh my God, she's so beautiful. They see she has a baby. Like, oh, she must be married. Come to find out, she's not married. She's not widowed. She's never been married. She just has a baby. And the reaction is like, what? Scandalous. How? Mm-hmm. Why? And she's like, you can be unmarried and have a baby. It happens. And then she opens a bar, bar slash pub, I guess, where she serves drinks and some foods. And she's very, very like, how do you say this? Straightforward. There's no frills, but it's like, I only do food and drinks. There's nothing else. There's no funny business. There's no like weird, shady stuff going on in this place. But the women of the town make her out to be this like, I don't know. It's kind of like the Scarlet Letter. Like she like, it's the first two episodes is a constant thing of like, I'm just trying to make a good, healthy living for myself and for my child. So that's like Dongbaek. She's like hardworking, single mother, owns a bar. And then there's Dongbaek, who was born and raised in this town. His mother runs one of the crab restaurants. And the story is always like, oh God, this kid's such a nuisance. He always gets in the way of everything. But it's actually like the dude catches criminals. He has like this knack for catching bad guys and like always being in the right place at the right time. And he's like this righteous guy who stands up for what is right. And he has kind of like an anger problem where if somebody says something wrong or acts or behaves the wrong way, he will just go and punch them or like chew them out or whatever. So
yeah,
it's completely two opposite characters. Dongbaek is very like soft-spoken. She's never had a family. She didn't have a mother. She doesn't have a father. Very reserved and just trying to do well for herself. And then there's Dongbaek who his mother runs a crab restaurant, but also very like hot-tempered, very fired up all the time. So that's like the first episode. Mind you, what we kind of failed to mention is that the opening scenes are just like this. It's a crime scene and a body is retrieved from a lake. And it pretty much alludes to the fact that Dongbaek has been murdered. So it starts off the series with Dongbaek is murdered. Now we go back into time to figure out who Dongbaek is and who the policeman Kang An-ho is playing Yong-sik is. So what else are we missing? Episode 2, it's kind of just about that continuing on, but then kind of telling the story of Dongbaek's ex, who is a famous baseball player who visits Pilgu, her son's school. And he doesn't know that he has a son, but it's the little boy who is very, very stands up for his mom, protects his mom. But you also see moments of like how having a single mother who the entire town hates can be very, very taxing for a kid. That's like honestly pretty much all that happens to me, the way I see it in the first two episodes. That's like the meat of it. I think there are a lot of subplots and sub characters that are more like interesting characters and people in the town. Like the landlord who wants to be a politician, who actually just has a, he has like a Napoleon complex. Is that what they call it? Mm. Where he's just like, you know, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Weird. So yeah, that's pretty much the show. I know it's a very, very simple synopsis, but I mean, honestly, that's kind of what happens.
Support for Commit to Quit comes from our friends at Skillshare. Skillshare is an online learning community with thousands of inspiring classes for creative and curious individuals like you and me. If you've listened to all of our Commit or Quit episodes, you probably know by now that I have an incredibly short attention span, which is where the show even developed from, because I don't have patience. That's why Skillshare is even more interesting, because most classes are under 60 minutes, and one that I am going to start taking is a documentary photography class taught by Amy Vital. You guys take class with me, and just to make it easier for you guys, Skillshare has given our Commit or Quit family an incredible, incredible offer. You can do 2 free months of a premium membership. Like, it costs you nothing, absolutely nothing. You just go to Skillshare.com/commit and you have 2 months for free. So check it out, Skillshare.com/commit for 2 free months of a premium membership. And I'll see you there. All right, back to the show.
Right. Am I missing anything?
No, I think you kind of hit it right on the head. I want to just go in and jump right into these themes because, you know, from your meltdown from last episode, it was nice that this show was a little bit different, at least thematically, right?
Yeah.
You know, from the perspective of a single mother supporting her son and like you said, you know, like a Scarlet Letter type of mentality and, you know, other people just wanting to gang up and point fingers and gossip, essentially. So, mm-hmm. you know, off of the heels of that, you know, there definitely is some sort of social stigma of being a single mother. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't even just say particularly in South Korea, but just globally, right?
Yeah.
Instead of us thinking about it from like a, wow, it's a single mother, there's so much to do. I feel like people are more inclined to point fingers and be like, something went wrong here. Oh, I feel bad for this person or something like that. Whereas some people can be really happy being single and being a mother.
I mean, isn't Charlize Theron like a single mother and she chose to like adopt children as well?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay. I just looked it up. Charlize Theron has never been married, is a mother to 2 adopted children, Jackson and August. And she said, I've never wanted to get married and that's never been something that's important to me.
Hmm.
So, I don't know. I think it's cool that there's ways to have children or like adopt children or raise children. But anyways, in the case of this show, we find out that Dongbaek, she's a very, very proud woman. Not in a abrasive, rude way, but she's just like, I haven't done anything wrong. I'm just trying to live my life. I'm just trying to be a good person and provide for my child. And we find out that she's never had a family. And even when she was dating her son's father, he was very much like, I'll be your family. And we don't know what exactly went wrong, right? And I'm sure that'll be part of like the future episodes. But she, even when he comes to visit her, and it wasn't even intentional, he just happened to be there shooting a TV show and they kind of run into each other. And it's just a coincidence. And he's like, why are you here? We have a son. What the heck? I had no idea. And I guess what we did not mention is at the end of the second episode, it's when the baseball player is like, he's like trying to seek her out and like be like, what's going on? Trying to really research, like, is she married? What's going on? Because she tells him that she got married and she's completely over him, even though it's not true. Right. And it's only then where after Kang Han-il has pretty much been chasing this girl around town all day to be like, oh, I just want to be your friend. I just want to hang out with you, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. It's when the baseball player shows up and she's like, oh, grabs his hand. It's like, oh, he's my husband or we're dating or whatever. And everybody's like, what? what's going on? So she's all to say she's very proud. And I think that this is something to me that was very, very refreshing to see. And in the town itself, I thought it was important to note that the women called the shots in this town. Because, and the way they painted it is, all these restaurants are run by the matriarchs, the women of the household. The men are doing the laundry or the dishes, or they're parking cars. They're doing things that are quote unquote less important, I guess. I don't want to say less important. They're just not as impactful as making the actual crab, marinated crab. Speaking of which, Eddie, yeah. Have you had this marinated crab before?
I have. It was a mouth-watering episode.
Oh, man.
I love it. Especially like raw crab over like rice and stuff. It's just so delicious.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just one of the best dishes ever.
So to explain, in Korea, there's ganjang gaejang. And ganjang gaejang is like soy sauce marinated raw crab. And people can be like, what? That's crazy. But pretty much, it's delicious. It's raw. They marinate it. I guess it's the saltiness that doesn't make it go bad. But when you eat it with a hot bowl of rice, you get the plump meat from the crab. And you get kind of the guts or the roe from the crab. And you mix it with the rice. Mm-hmm. It is delicious. It is so good. It is also expensive.
It's expensive, it's so good. Dog. That's the problem. Like, I mean, you're telling everybody this, but it's like not cheap. It's like a $25 dish, wouldn't you say?
I mean, on the cheap end, it's a $25 dish. Like, I remember I went last year because I took like three people and we got like a medium-sized plate. It was like $80. And I was like, oh Lord, that's kind of pricey for crab. Yeah.
I mean, but it looks like I need to get into the crab business. Seriously, it's like not that. That's really expensive. Are you talking about $80 for family size or just for you?
No, it was. I think it probably had like two, maybe three crabs. That was it.
Okay. Oh, that's not bad.
Cut in half each, so yeah, it's expensive. Delicious. Right. So it's kind of sad though. Like as I was watching it, it was like cool to see women being empowered on this show, but it was also sad to see the women bullying another woman who is trying to just make an honest living. Like what you see happen, and part of what makes the show fun is this townspeople versus Dongbaek relationship where they blame her for losing money. They blame her for sales not working out. They blame her for whatever their problems might be. From her perspective, she's like, I literally just serve beer and like anju. And anju is like food you eat when you drink. And the women of the town are like, you are taking all of our men, all our husbands. They go to your bar. They come late at night. They spend all this money at your place. So you're stealing our money. Give me our money back. That kind of thing. And for her, she's like, I don't know. I'm just selling food. And the husbands, their perspective is, Every restaurant in this entire town is run by a family member or a relative. And nobody wants to go to a relative's place and eat or drink every single day. You know,
right.
You want to be able to go somewhere and like discuss things with people without having to worry about your family and your wife and your kids sitting next to you. And so for the men, it's like the one place we can go without women, without our wives following us there. But then because so many men go, the women are like, oh, you should. They literally said like, Dongbaek, don't do anything that would make your son ashamed of you. That would make your son ashamed of being your son kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Implying that she was like a hostess in the sense of a woman serving drinks in a more like sexualized manner.
Right.
But yeah.
I mean, it's just classic jealousy, people outperforming and people being upset about it, you know? Like, it is sad to see, like, in the show, women tearing down other women, and in real life, minorities tearing down minorities, you know? It's like, there's a way to succeed together.
Right.
Anyways, I think we kind of nailed that point home.
Yeah. I think like there were a lot of cultural things in this show that were interesting to me, but like, you know, just some cultural notes. When she first moves to town, she carries around dok, and she's walking around to give people dok. And in Korea, when you move to a new place, you say dok dolliro ganda. I'm going to go give dok around to the neighbors. And that's a way traditionally to say hi, to introduce yourself. It's like a peace offering. Hi, I come in peace. I'm new to the neighborhood. Hope we can become friends, that kind of thing. And there's also this thing, I think it's called budang. So I don't know if you saw where Yongshik's mom was sitting there like, oh my God, my son, what is he going to do? And she's sitting there with a lady who's like throwing rice on a table in like a costume kind of thing. For people who don't know, it's from what I understand, those are like kind of mystics in a way. They're people who speak to spirits and kind of predict the future. And it's something mystical like that. All to say, I think this drama did a good job of creating a town slash world where it mixed old tradition with new modern elements, both culturally, societally, and trying to like make it relevant for everybody who was watching, which I think for me, I personally appreciated as I watched the show. But I don't know, like Eddie, like as you were watching, did you have any of that takeaway? Because I think if you don't know about this stuff, like you could just be like, I have no idea. It's just whatever.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's like all these Korean dramas that we see, there are all these little nuggets of, you know, cultural knowledge and nuances that otherwise you would probably not know about. You know, like I didn't even know about the talk thing. I in the church or at our parents' friends' homes or when we moved, like I'm just like, sweet, we got plenty of talk. You know, we're balling. We got this and that, but there's always a reason for that, right? Like even just like when it's each of our first birthdays and there's just like an immense amount of food and we have to wear that ridiculous hat. And we all have those photos. So yeah, I think the more dramas we watch, the more we're able to see and discover. But I would even take this a step farther and say that Seoul in particular is a city that is so mixed in the new and the old. You know, it's like you got some of the biggest skyscrapers and like the most up-to-date technology and the fastest internet in the world. Then you got somebody like an older woman or gentleman like carrying rice on their back, like next to a bunch of people like on their AirPods, like going to work. You know what I mean? It's like, do you get what I'm saying? There's a lot of like mix of old and new.
Yeah, I think there is, especially like north of the river. I was just there last week. And one reason I actually like going north of the river sometimes, like north is they have signs. Like everywhere in south of the river, Gangnam, signs are in English. So Starbucks is just the way you see it. Dunkin' Donuts is just the way you see it in the States. McDonald's, everything is the same. But when you go north of the river, everything is spelled out in Korean. It's just, so it's like the same color, same font, but it's in Korean. And it looks really cool to me. So Starbucks is written as like Starbucks. And then Dunkin' Donuts in Korean will say Dunkin' Donuts. So there is a lot of blending of like old and new. One thing that I do wish that I've also always felt about Seoul is I wish there were more historical cultural buildings. Unfortunately, a lot of them were lost during colonization, during the war. The city was torn down, burned down so many times. So a lot of those historical buildings don't exist, which is kind of sad. But, and then I've also kind of realized like there is this obsession with, not obsession, that people like new and shiny things. So things are getting torn down and rebuilt constantly. Like I'll be out of town for a month and I come back and there's a new building right next to my house. You know, it's constant. But I think it kind of speaks to how quickly Korea has developed its economy and it's modernized in so many ways. But in the case of this drama, like, I think I just like watching things that look a little old-fashioned. It makes me feel at ease when watching this.
Right, where it can't hit too close to home. You got like all these kakao things going off and, you know, you know what I mean? Like, you kind of want to escape. a certain reality to an extent.
I think the other thing though is like there was this, what I really liked about it is there was this small town feel. There's like a neighborhood feel, which can be great and what can be really annoying. But for me, it just felt like a small community, family, very tight knit kind of thing, which could be suffocating. But in the case maybe where I am mentally right now, it's like, oh, that feels and looks so nice. It's kind of the way it was perceived to me.
Yeah. Good point.
I guess like what are some of the things that you really liked about this drama? Considering that we've already committed to the show, what did you really enjoy about it?
I did like observing the mother-son relationship in some way, right? Like I think whether it's a single mother or a single father, there is always this like feeling of protection, camaraderie of like, you don't talk to my mom that way. You know, you don't talk to my son that way. Like you have each other's backs, you know, because maybe a parent is out of the picture. So like you're bonding like so much harder, right?
Right.
This is completely unrelated because dogs are not human children, but I read an article about how dogs right now during this time of COVID are becoming like overly dependent on their owners.
Yeah, I can see that.
They're just with them 24 hours a day. Like I'm recording this podcast right now and Rocky's outside the door like crying. And it's because I'm just like not in his sight at all times. And you know, and so think about like a single mother and her son. Like think about all the things that you've gone through together. You know? So anyways, I thought that was super endearing. And you know, luckily for us, we grew up in a really great family, but each of us had our own like issues with our parents, you know. But luckily we all grew up and got over it. So yeah. What about you? What about the show?
I really liked the characters. I really liked how they're portrayed. I think Tongbaek is a very, you can't help but root for her. She's not like an overly brash, overly confident, I'm a single mother, I'm gonna blah blah blah. It's just like you're watching this and you feel for her because she is prideful and she is very like stubborn, right? It's not that she isn't a strong woman, but it's that she just really wants to fit in and like have a good life. And that's all she really wants. She wants her son to be healthy. She wants to be healthy. She just wants to make money and do what she got to do to make things work for her. And you can't help but respect that. And so much of what happens to her, she doesn't ask for it to happen to her. It just kind of happens. And so you end up feeling just bad for this girl who is just trying to make an honest living. And then what I also liked is Kang Anya's character, Yong Shigi, who is this hot-headed, hot-tempered young kid who is like, I don't care. I'm going to do everything the way I need to for whatever's righteous and whatever's just. And then he falls head over heels for this girl who is also very just like, this is me. And she like continuously says, this man's a weirdo. Oh, this man's like a psychopath. Don't talk to this man. And it's not that. It's just Kang Anya is just so love struck by this girl that he doesn't know how to act. So I thought it was actually very fun that he's just like a very, very average Joe kind of character. He wasn't like the tall, good-looking, kind of one-dimensional male lead character, but he was a very, very emotional, up and down, wears hearts on his sleeve kind of character, which I found to be very, very fun and refreshing.
Right. Like you said, very different from what we've seen so far. A little less shiny. Definitely still a Korean drama, but thematically and just the characters in this show are just very different. So that is, and like you said, like the setting, right? The small town feel, there's something a little bit different in this entire show. There's a little like, there's a punigi, like a feeling about it. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm just looking forward to seeing what the rest of the season shapes out to be. You know, one of our interns at Dive, Jonathan, said it's one of the best shows he's ever seen in his life. I don't know if he's just trying to. Yeah, I don't know if he's trying to exaggerate. I don't know if he's seen Itaewon Class or, what we've discussed here, but he was so crazy about it and he's got good taste. I feel like I need to just like sit down and crunch it out with Brittany. Because yeah, at this point, I feel like you and I also just love different. As long as there's not like a crazy love triangle or pentagon right now, like you've got me hooked in some way.
I mean, look, the last episode I went off on this, but like maybe because it's just we don't watch the full seasons, right? Like we don't have, I don't sit through 12, 16, 18 episodes to determine like, oh, that was a good show or not. Like I'm basing this off of two. So in the time that it might take to watch one full season, we've watched like three or four different shows to kind of discuss. So for me, my patience level is at like 0.09, right? So I need things to move. I need things to get to the point and I need it to be different. If all you're going to give me is a love triangle, bro, I'm out. I'm not doing that. So for me, I like this show because the characters, you want to root for them. They're relatable. You feel for them in many ways. And by the way, we have barely mentioned the fact that this is a thriller as well. There is a murderous psychopath plot that is running underneath this entire thing. So that's what is actually very, very exciting. There's just multiple layers to this thing. It's just fun. I like it.
Yeah. Sounds good. So you got to double commit.
Yeah. I mean, I know this episode, it kind of seems very almost like what these guys are just going to sit here and talk about how great it was. Like, yes, that's what it is. I'll put it this way. I was supposed to watch two episodes and I started at like midnight because I was like, I need to watch it so I can shoot this episode of Commit or Quit. Watch one episode. It was like 1:15 or something, right? And I was like, I should just like start episode two so I can get as far as I can so I can finish it tomorrow. I watched through the entire thing. And then I started episode three and I was like, no. You got to go to bed. You got to go to work tomorrow. All to say like…
Sign of a good show.
It's a sign of a good show. There are many times where I'll be like, oh, you know, it's like a soft commit. Maybe I'll watch it. Maybe I won't. I think I'll actually end up watching this one, which is… It's just the first one in a while. So for me, it's a solid commit. I would highly recommend it for you guys. Check it out. I had fun. I enjoy it so far. Yeah. Any final thoughts on this?
No, I'm just going to echo your thoughts here. Kind of a cop out. But yeah, like you said, there's a thriller component that we barely touched on. And there's a lot that remains to be seen. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too.
I guess there's not really as much to talk about when we like it.
Yeah, it's just like it's good. You guys should watch it. That's pretty much all we want to say. Like, and it's not honestly like it's not the themes in it aren't like hugely relatable. Like, I can't pull a lot of like life stories from it, right? But it's just a good show. So I would recommend it to you guys. Hopefully, you guys enjoy it. And that brings us to the wrapping up point of this episode of Commit or Quit. Hope you guys enjoyed our thoughts on When the Camellia Blooms episode 1 and 2. You guys can watch the full episodes of this podcast and all other podcasts from Art Dive Studio Network at youtube.com/divepods.
Yes. And while you're at it, tag us on our Twitter at the Dive Studios to let us know if you agree with our decision to commit or quit. And also follow us on Instagram at the Dive Studios and at Dive Studios on TikTok. Finally got verified on both platforms. So you guys were making it. We're becoming legit. But that brings you to my next point. No matter how legit we are, we still need help. And cue the music. We have a Patreon. And patreon.com/Dive Studios, where you can become a patron and you can help us grow our network and, you know, produce out more content and feed our team. So we really appreciate your consideration here.
Yeah. Also, should we share what we are going to be doing? Anything we're going to be changing for Commit or Quit?
No, not yet. We'll just say that just stay tuned. We got some like really amazing guests coming on. And we're going to be watching some awesome shows and TV shows and movies, and we're thinking about even like getting some of like our highest recs, our top recs, you know, that we feel that we should share with you guys.
Yeah.
Right. So what is Eric's top movie that is he's itching to get out? You know, up until this point, we've been kind of reacting to everybody, but it'd be nice that we could actually let people
discuss
know what...
discuss things that we love.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. Well, cool. Anyways, thanks for joining us, guys. Please stay healthy, stay safe, wash your hands, and wear a mask. We'll talk to you guys next week on Commit or Quit. Bye.
Goodbye.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.